Well, good morning, and welcome Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, February 7th, 2020, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 6, page 88, Into Action, starting with the second paragraph beginning with, "We alcoholics are undisciplined." We'll be reading two paragraphs today, concluding the chapter, which ends in, "This chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. We'll be commenting on both paragraphs. Today's readers are Lorraine N. for the 12 steps, Kim T. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are K.P., Janice P.M., and Julie E.B. Our newcomer greeter today is Leah S. and Reggie O. for our announcements, and Lynn S. is recording us. Thanks, Lynn. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, February 6, 2020, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,085. That's 14085. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, February 7th, 2020, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,089. That's 14089. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Lorraine N. to read our 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning. Yes, the 12 steps. This is Lorraine N. in Oregon, compulsive eater, checking in. Okay, one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service. I pass.
And thank you, Lorraine N. And now Kim T. will read our 12 traditions of OA. Kim, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. This is Kim T. from Colorado. 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service. I pass.
And thank you, Kim T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except for the speakers should be muted, and that does include your personal mute button on your phone. Please don't use that. Use the star 1 to mute and unmute. That way we can have a nice quiet meeting. We'd appreciate that. All right. So today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 88, the second paragraph. This is into action, and it is chapter 6, and we're actually going to finish the chapter today, so we're going to read the second paragraph and the third paragraph, which concludes this chapter. And so now we'll ask KP to read, to start reading. Okay?
Good morning, everybody. This is KP from Malden, South Carolina. Thank you all for doing service. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in a simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There's action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. Well, I know I was certainly undisciplined, not just my eating, although that was just like a riot run, but I was undisciplined in my life too. And I wanted to have everything in order to the point of being ridiculous about it, and I would drive myself crazy with that. This line about faith without works is dead also speaks strongly to me. I really don't care what anybody's spiritual path is, but I think everybody needs one. And I think this book supports that idea. And sometimes faith just seems to come naturally to some people, but to others, like me, faith was a decision. I made up my mind I was going to trust this process and I was going to do it. And it's probably been the best decision I ever made. My life is different, not just my eating and my food behaviors, but my life is different. It's better. And by the way, I'm not the only one who thinks that. The people around me, my family, they tell me I'm different. I'm a better person. And I will pass with that.
Well, thank you, KP, for getting us started. So again, just reminding you, we're in Chapter 6, Into Action. We're on page 88. We're reading the second paragraph. We're reading the last two paragraphs, and we're concluding in this chapter today. So it begins with, we alcoholics are in discipline, and it ends with, the next chapter is entirely devoted to the 12th step, to step 12. Who would like to read? I'm a little
Lisa G.
Laura W.
Lisa G.
Okay, hold on, everybody, please.
Roz.
First, hold on a second, please. I heard Laura W., but I heard somebody before Laura W.
Lisa G.
Lisa G. Okay, thank
you. Irene
G. And I heard
Lisa
Roz G. And I heard
Julie E. B.
Lynette.
Janice P.M.
Okay. You get, all right, I'm going to take Lynette P., and then I'll take Janice and Julie on the next round. Okay? All right. So, Lisa G., please go ahead, and you'll be followed by Laura W. Good morning, Lisa. Lisa G., star 1 to unmute, please. Lisa?
I'm here. Lisa G., from Texas. Hey, Sherry, good to hear you. Thank you for your service. And I've been waiting for this paragraph so I could share on it because my normal tendency is to be the most undisciplined person in the world. I used to think that was, I used to like to call that being a free spirit. But really what free spirits do is they don't hold up their promises. They're not where they're supposed to be when they say they're going to be there. I'm talking about myself. You know, if I thought I was going to wake up at a certain time, I would sleep an hour later. I mean, all different things. You know, on top of saying I'm not going to eat like that again tomorrow. And then I would do the exact same thing for days and weeks and years. So all that, what it does, what it did to me is it just chipped away at my integrity over the years to where I just really hated myself because I felt that I couldn't do what I said I would do, especially around the food. I didn't really realize the other stuff also had something to do with that. And so when I got into program, the first part of the discipline was eating a different way. And I thought I could never do it. But the part that helped me do that was having to call somebody every day, or not having to, having the privilege of calling someone every day and commit my food to them. I'd call late, I'd miss calls. This was within the first month. And I got, you know, I got disciplined for that by my sponsor, you know, and I got pissed off and I got resentful. But, you know, over time, I realized, you know, this is my problem, not their problem. And just slowly, slowly, I got to where I was disciplined with my food, disciplined with calling my sponsor exactly when I was supposed to. And, you know, everything is just these little steps, writing down your food, committing your food, eating what you say you're going to commit, waking up when you're supposed to. Like, I'm a hairdresser, so I don't go to work from 9 to 5. I work much later than that. And so getting up 2 hours before I used to, because that's when my sponsor could take my call. I mean, all that stuff was just so new to me. And I started in program like 12 years ago. So it was, you know, most of my adult life, I just did what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And that is not a good thing for me. So anyway, I'm grateful for this discipline, even though sometimes I'm very rebellious, and I have to learn the hard way. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa G. Laura W., you're up, followed by Roz G. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. And I feel so privileged to be live on the line. Yeah, we alcoholics are undisciplined. You know, in the depths of my disease, I thought that I was very disciplined. as an anorexic, some of the things that I did were, you know, I'd get up super early in the morning and exercise. I'd have a list of, you know, from 4:30 to 5:30 a.m. I do this. From 5:45 to 6 o'clock, I shower. I'm not kidding. I was like 6 to 6:02, eat a half of an apple, you know, and it went on and on throughout the day till 10 o'clock at night, and it was exhausting. And, you know, that really wasn't discipline. That was slavery. And I see that today. Today, discipline to me is, you know, God disciplines me. I hear all the time that God is looking for servants, not celebrities, you know, and I'm here to each day to wake up and read 86 through 88 to ask God, okay, throughout my day, you know, on awakening, what do I do? Throughout my day, what do I do? Faith without works is dead, absolutely. But works without faith is self-will. So I need both. I need to walk the walk, I need to talk the talk, but I need to do the action. And when I do the action, then God provides the results. It doesn't work the other way for me. You know, God doesn't give me results and then I say, okay, now I'll do the work because I trust you. I have to let go of the desire to control every minute detail of my life and just do what's right in front of me, do what's next. And I don't actually plan my day like that anymore. Of course, I have things with my job and my kids and that I need to attend to. But, you know, God plans the day, and I trust that whatever falls into place is God's will for that day. So the next right action is what I do, and, you know, next phone call to a client, the next task for my child. And when I go to put my head on the pillow at night, I have to thank God for giving me the energy and the faith to do that. And it's great. It's a great way to live for me, and it's so much, you know, it's freedom. It truly is freedom. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. Roz G., you're up, followed by Irene B. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning, Sherry KB. This is Roz G., driving to work, maybe a little car noise. In the English language, for me growing up, discipline was negative. Discipline meant authority was going to say, Russ, you are bad, slap on the hand, you are bad, and I'm going to discipline you. You know, for my mom, and I wasn't abused or anything like that. I'm just talking a little kid not liking getting a spanking or not liking my teacher telling me, you know, stop talking. And later on, you're telling me I have a serving size? Screw you. I don't have a serving size. I get whatever I want, you know? And you mean put something on a scale? You're crazy. That's obsessive. Measure. Give me a break. Call me at this particular time at 9 o'clock.
Roz, we lost you.
Sorry, but I passed through a time of, you know, a little area, a little patch. Sorry about that.
We can hear
anyway,
you.
That's what discipline meant for me. And what discipline is a blessing. It can be seen as a place of godly influence, God control, God management, good orderly direction. And, you know, I started with a new sponsor on July the 11th. I've been abstinent since then. And, you know, she and I talked a lot about food and vegetables and stir-frying my vegetables. And I've been doing that every morning since July the 11th. It's a discipline to cook my breakfast because I like it fresh. It tastes good. That's when I eat vegetables that are fresh and taste good. Otherwise, I don't like them. But it's a discipline for me to get up, pray and meditate, and cook my breakfast. And you mean I have to do it again tomorrow? Yes. And if I'm out somewhere, will I have to order that way? Yes. It's methodical. And it is a practice, meditation, a discipline, the discipline of allowing my mind, not allowing my mind to drift, but to gently pull it back to asking God what his will is for me today. Discipline can be a beautiful thing. It is deciphering and taking it away from the negative and into the positive.
Roz, we lost you, but your time's up, so thank you. And Irene B., you're up, followed by Lynette P. Irene, good morning.
I'm going to pass. Sorry about that. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. Irene,
good morning.
There?
I'm here.
Okay.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you to everyone for the beautiful, honest shares. I'm Irene B., very grateful. Recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We are undisciplined. I am undisciplined. Oh my gosh. And I don't like discipline because I used to associate the term discipline with punishment. And if God is going to discipline me, I used to look to the Old Testament, and I used to be terrified, and I used to have recurring nightmares of going to hell as a child because, you know, I was a bad girl. And all I wanted was to be a good girl. But be it as it may, as fate would have it, I was in charge of my world since age 6. So I really grew out without any real discipline, per se, in a way of speaking. It's very weird, but I was terrified of discipline. And what I am learning is that I need discipline, and that discipline doesn't mean horrendous, terrible punishment. All it means is correction, and correction can be done harshly or it can be lovingly. We can speak the truth in love. We can correct in a loving manner, not harshly. And that's what this program does for me. It is teaching me how to be the human being I always wanted to be. It is disciplining me. I don't need to be afraid of that word, because I'm learning that God is a loving God, full of love and mercy. He's gentle and kind. At the same time, he's firm, you know? And I am just so grateful that I have this program to show me who God is and to show me all the areas that I'm in such bad need of discipline in my life. Because I have been blind to, you know, to where my part is in all of my heartaches. You know, where's my part in it? And once I know that, I can have the discipline to follow a better course. And for that, I'm grateful. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Irene B. and Lynette P. And before we hear from Lynette, I am going to take some more names, but I am going to start with Janice P.M. and Julie E.B., and then I'll take some more after that. Lynette, please go ahead.
Thank you, Sherry. Good morning, everybody. It's Lynette P., recovered in Southern California. And I see this this line and step 11 as so related to steps 2 and 3. And all the work we've been doing leads me to this point. My letting God discipline me is refining me. You know, deep down in every man, woman, and child, right, is that concept. And so I'm going to tap into that on a daily basis and, you know, stop fighting, stop debating, checking in with my higher power, everything that it talks about in the last couple of pages about step 11, that is allowing God to discipline me in my daily life, to refine me. It leads me to a closer spiritual relationship, and it's expanding that spiritual relationship. About 20 years ago, I had a major, that was my last major relapse, and I gained all my weight back, plus more. It was 100 pounds. And what I started to do, you know, when that relapse started or before, is I got away from my higher power. I got away from step one and stopped practicing and letting God discipline me on a daily basis. Self-will came back, and of course I ate. And all of this, you know, was fear-based, if I'm getting away from God. and eating. And so that went on for about a year or two. And I can see it so clearly now. What started, letting other things get in the way of being disciplined by my higher power and living that disciplined life, not just the food, but living, practicing what I do now on a daily basis. I don't know if there's much more that I wanted to mention that hasn't already been mentioned. Oh, that line, I can't help but thinking of the previous paragraph. We no longer run the show. We no longer run the show. That's how I see the discipline part. I'm going to go to my higher power, okay, as far as how to live today. So I no longer run the show, and I would say I just no longer run anymore because that was a big part of my life as well. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Lynette P. So we are on page 88, paragraphs 2 and 3. We're finishing the chapter today. I do have Janice P.M. and Julie E.B. Who else would like to share this morning?
Dion R.
Patty D.
Audrey M.
Beatrice O.
Lisa J.
I heard Dion
Show
R.
Me
and Patty,
B.
Who was Patty?
Beatrice
O.
Was
Tracy
that Patty
K.
P? Hold on,
Patty D. D
is
in David.
D is in David. Thank you. And then I
Audrey
heard
M. P.
Audrey, I heard somebody
Audrey.
Before.
Beatrice O.
Okay.
Shlomi Khanabi.
I'm sorry. If we have more time, we will. I'm kind of having a pile up here. So I'm going to take Janice P.M., Julie E.B., Dion R., Patty D., Audrey O., and Beatrice O. And if I have time for more, I'll get you in there. Janice P.M., please go ahead. Good morning, Janice. Janice PM, star 110 mute.
Hey, here I am, Sherry. Thank you so much. And please time me because these paragraphs are so powerful. My name is Janice PM. I'm from Massachusetts, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Wow, if we could only know this the first time that I went through, but, I didn't. I thought I was disciplined, like everybody else. The only, why did I think I was so disciplined? Because, when I was young, I wouldn't do things with boys because those were moral things, and, boy, that took a lot of discipline. Well, let me tell you, I thought that even when I was retiring, I could have discipline because I would have the time and the effort, do what I want, when I want it. But I was still bondage to myself. Now, when we go through these steps, see, these people that wrote this book, now, they have the experience of a recovered alcoholic, or recovered from for us it was food, which means they're telling us what to do. It's their direction, how they got what a spiritual awakening. How did they get there? That their ideas were different, like mine became different, my attitudes became different. How did I do that? How did I get that? Well, I received it through the implementation of all these steps, but staying and growing in steps 10, 11, and coming up as 12. 11, this is what we're finishing up. Prayer and meditation plus step 10 is the foundation of any change and growth, the foundation of my life. Now, what do? I pray. I don't pray for what I want because that's how I used to pray. I pray for His will to be done. Why? Because the first steps tells me that I can't manage my own life. It's unmanageable by me. Good. I thought, well, geez, my life is good too. But no, I can't manage my own life. I can't even manage what to eat in the past. All right. So if I am powerless, then I have to plug in. If I want the light on in this kitchen, I have to put the plug in to a lamp to get that power. And that plug in for me every day, don't miss a day. Because I don't miss a day of eating. I don't miss a day of breathing. I don't miss a day of going out in the sunshine if the sun is out. So it's the same thing for my mind and my life is to plug in to that power, to pray, to listen, and then the hardest thing is to obey his standards. Not what I think, not my standards.
Time.
Oh, thank you. And how does that happen? How do I hear his message? Through you, through all you people that are in the program. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Janice PM. Julie EB, you're up, followed by Dion R. Julie, good morning.
Hi, this is Julie. This is Julie EB, gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs, happy for another 365 days, several times in a row of abstinence and a couple years of recovery, and just really find this beautiful. You know, I love pulling up this awakening each morning on my OA Toolkit app, and we compulsive overeaters, that's me, undisciplined. So we let God discipline us in the simple way we've just outlined. And for me, the simple way that was just outlined is so much a relationship and a conversation. My higher power before was just an echo of my lower power voice, that I'm never good enough, that life is out of control, that I need to try and manage more or just give up and do nothing. But here in On Awakening, we've heard how God disciplines us. First, we ask, we start the conversation, ask God. We consider our plans for the day, and then we ask God to direct our thinking. And then it shares with us that God trusts us with our mental faculties. God gave us brains to use. Then we face indecision. What's the simple way? The simple way, we can't determine the course. And we ask for inspiration, intuition. Here, God is part of the conversation. And if we're awake in conscious contact, trying ever more to develop this relationship, we can relax and take it easy and not struggle. And that's an easy way of disciplining. And so what used to be a hunch becomes a part, a working part of the mind in this conversation that's going on, this relationship, this simple way that God disciplines us. It comes to our mind. You know, I knew what my guidelines were in some points growing up. I had some strange rules in my family too, but I tell you, it became a part of my mind. And sometimes I'm going to make mistakes. I'll pay with absurd actions and ideas. But nevertheless, there's this promise that our thinking will come along. As we conclude, we ask for the next step and then what we need to get through that step. Again, God disciplining us, giving us what we need as we need it, not too far ahead. Self-will is not what we're about. We have this new direction to think about what it means to not pray for our selfish ends, to try and expand this to communities of spouses and friends, to have prayers as a part of that is just beautiful. And then to pause. And once again, I pause and then God does the rest. I remind myself that I can't do this. I remind myself that I'm not running the show, and then I focus on the fact that what is just reality for me, that God's will is going to be done in the world, not mine. This world is too complex, and what a blessing then that we have action and more action, that this program never ends, and I'm working it again one more day. Thank you to all of you that have made this possible for me. A special thanks today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Dion R., you're up, followed by Patty D. Dion, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, this is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater. Very grateful today. Very grateful to share on the line of the program of recovery, which excites me every day. Just knowing in chapters, this whole chapter six, it starts with the fifth step. You know, after the house cleaning, it tells us all this, and now we're at the end. You know, we don't went through inventory and how we got to talk to someone and stay in tune. All these are spiritual way of life. According to this chapter, if I don't enhance my spiritual life, I won't have a life. especially not a life worth living, you know, not a life of freedom, not a life of happiness and joy. And even though the crazies happen, I could still make it through it, you know. And this is because of this spiritual prescription that I like to call my higher power is God. My, you know, he prescribed this for me, and I love it. I never would have thought anything about working 12 steps had anything to do with losing weight and keeping it off for 7+ years. It's just amazing. And not even have food call my name, you know. And the way still, it's just, it's amazing. It's, and to stop and say, God, even when I get caught up in my old way of thinking, I can go back to him. This is what this book is telling me. I can go right back and say, oh, God, thy will, not my, I'm willing to do your will. Show me, you know, remove from me the bad and good. You know what I mean? I can still get back on track and not beat myself up like a baseball bat. And neither, which is the most important part to me, is to allow others to walk over me, you know, or feel like I have to be a slave to contention. You know, as God people, this big book says, we crawl before no one. I got all this from this program, guys, and it is so awesome. That's why I happily carry the message that, yeah, I came here, didn't want to lose weight, but I rebulked so many times for 20 years. Like, that has nothing to do with it. I know about the church stuff. I'm cool on that. But, no, I had to have a spiritual awakening. That's what these steps gave me. And after God gave it to me, oh, my God. You guys told me, through working with you guys, he told me, now you're gonna carry it forward, Dion, pay it forward. And when someone asks you how'd you do it, and many do, how'd you lose over 100-some pounds? Well, 12 steps of overeaters. Now, I'm not ashamed to carry the message that God gave me. It kept me, gave me out of insane asylums, it keep me out of jails. It keeping me grounded, and it keeping me happy, joyous, and free. And even if I make a mistake, oh, my God, you know what I mean? I can start all over. As long as I wake up, I can start over again and say, you know what? Lord, I made a mistake. Let me clean my house and let me pray and meditate every day, you know, so I can be of maximum usefulness to you and your kids. And reminded that God doesn't have grandkids. We are all his children. And with that, I'll pass. Guys, thank you. Have a great weekend, and thanks for allowing me to share my experience, strength, and hope. Keep on doing what you're doing. If you're doing it right, if not, just start all over again. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Dion R. And Patty D., you're up, followed by Audrey O. Patty, good morning.
Good morning. This is Patty D., compulsive overeater in Matthews, North Carolina. Thank you so much for your service and for everyone who's making this meeting possible that I just listen to every morning. I just wanted to address actually the latter part of this paragraph. Faith without works is dead, and there's action and more action. Before I had my relapse, when I was initially recovered, I did sponsor, and I found it difficult because I have a chronic illness, and I found that I was canceling a lot of my phone calls and felt that I wasn't really dependable for my sponsee. And I ended up that I stopped sponsoring. And I have been totally rethinking that as I'm abstinent again and moving forward, that even though I have this chronic illness and it's hard, that I need to look at sponsoring as a means of keeping myself strong and sharing what God's giving me. Because if I don't sponsor, I'm isolating, and I can't stay strong in my program if I'm not sharing it. And even though calling into the meeting is sharing my strength and experience, it's not the same as walking alongside someone. And so I've made the decision to sponsor again once I'm through all of my steps and get to that point. And maybe it looks different for me because maybe I can only sponsor one person at a time and they have to be really flexible because of my constraints. But I need to do that because it's part of the program and it's so important. And so that's all I needed to share. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Patty D. And Audrey O., you're up, followed by Beatrice O., and we might have time for some more. Go
okay,
ahead, Patty
good.
D. Good morning.
Oh. Hello?
Hey, Patty, go ahead, please.
Hello, this
Patty?
Is Audrey.
I'm sorry, I meant Audrey. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I was like, did Patty just share... this is Audrey M.P., M like Mary, P like Paul. And thank you, Sherry, for your service and everybody putting the meeting on. And I want to thank everybody for their shares. I am diligently writing everything down that everyone says. Discipline. Wow, discipline for me. So I can relate to so many things around discipline, that it's bad or you've been bad and that's wrong. And in all of my years in OA, and I'm really attracted to the recovery that I hear and see. I met for 2 years. I've spent time in the Vision for You room at the OA birthday party, and I was just so graced to meet so many people again this year and actually have relationships. Gosh, discipline. You know, there's another word that I relate to in discipline or being disciplined, and that's like shame. And I was listening to a talk on the internet that said the opposite of shame is honor, and honor is doing something good or right that no one else finds out about. And you know, I have to think of that in my food. Like, I need to honor myself and follow my food plan in it, and to honor myself and to be absent. Now, I can only do that with the grace of my higher power, but I've always done things for other people in my years of being in OA. I wear my recovered badge of honor and bulimia like with just such high honor, because I know that some women and locally in my city, they just can't get abstinence from bulimia. And so somebody had shared about the absurd action. So I had made an absurd action 2 days ago with a choice, and it wasn't a good choice for me. And, you know, I've had to take a step back and really get my abstinence back. I love what I heard. Someone wakes up in the morning and chops their vegetables and makes their meal, and getting up early to do that. And, you know, sometimes I think, oh, I just don't have enough time. And I do open my day with prayer and meditation, and I do stay in conscious contact with my higher power. I have no doubt that my higher power loves me mercifully, and that sometimes I just have monkey brain and I don't go to him. You know, I go to what I think is the next action for Audrey to do for Audrey. And in my age, sometimes I fall down in it. I mean, literally fall down. So
time.
I appreciate all of you, and thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Audrey O. And Beatrice, Audrey
M. Audrey M.P. No,
okay,
O.
Audrey M.P. Thanks, Audrey.
Correct.
M.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Beatrice O., you're up, and we might have time for one more. Beatrice O., good morning. Star one to unmute, Beatrice. Beatrice O.?
Good morning. This is Beatrice O. from Northern California. Can I be heard?
You sure can. Go ahead, Beatrice.
Oh, okay, great. So, I guess the part where it says, you know, faith without works is dead, is the way I feel about it is, you know, faith, for me, it's really faith without action. And we've been talking a lot about spiritual discipline, but discipline doesn't invoke a negative thought for me. It's more of positive behavior changes. New habits, positive thinking. And I know somewhere it says, you know, that's why we call, you know, some groups call it AWOLs, a way of life. So that discipline becomes a way of life over time. But what's more important to me is knowledge, because knowledge without wisdom is like foolishness. And in order for me to get that wisdom, I have to spend some time in quiet prayer meditation, which is my spiritual discipline. And, you know, I just have to remember, you know, God is in charge of everything. And that's where my serenity comes from, living in peace. And I have to remember that God is in charge. And for those dark places where I feel fear, I just have to remember, you know, my higher power can see in the dark. So I don't have to worry. And I just want to piggyback on what someone said about walking alongside somebody. So, you know, my higher power walks with me everywhere I go. He's with me all the time. And so tapping into that higher power is a discipline. It's an acquired behavior that I have to practice all the time in order for me to use it. And the last thing I want to say is lately we have this coronavirus going around, and when I first saw it on TV when I was coming back from the LA airport and I got this horrible cold and I had some fear going on and I ran to the doctor and I got medication, and you know, I didn't have coronavirus but I had all the symptoms. You know, I just, when I had that little bit of fear, I realized, you know, we don't even know the source of the virus. And, you know, but God, that's just one indicator for me that God is in charge of everything. So thank you for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you. And we have time for one more 3-minute share. Who would like to take it out today?
Saridel.
Did it say Amy G?
Freya H. Saridel.
Margot P.
Sorry. I'm going to take Freya
Saridel.
H. Freya, go ahead.
Thank you. Freya, this H. is Freya H. Am I unmuted?
Yes, you are. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry. Freya H., compulsive eater, bulimic in Colorado. Love the share today. And what I just wanted to share was that how much I love my disciplines, you know, that I certainly thought, you know, there were parts of my disease where I thought I had a lot of discipline, and it was control. And in making that distinction between, you know, God disciplining me and me trying to discipline myself through self-will. And the thing about self-will was that I could do it, but in the back of my mind was this idea that, you know, that I'm not going to do it forever and that I'm just going to, you know, get this done and then I'm going to rest on my laurels. So so today I marvel, and I often share with newcomers or sponsees about my disciplines that I've come to really, really love. So things, you know, like I love my food plan, and yes, I put a lot of effort into it, and I don't even realize how much effort I put into it until I'm sharing it with a new person. I'm like, oh yeah, I put a lot of time and effort into my food plan. And then I step back and I'm like, wow, I put a lot of time and effort into my program. But try to convey that to someone that it's not drudgery. It's something that I love, you know, and that what I found is the more that I do it, the more that I want to do it. And the less that I do it, the less I want to do it. So just, you know, the things that I do that, yes, it does take a lot of time and energy, you know, preparing the food, shopping for the food, you know, chopping the vegetables. It does take effort, but it is such a safety net, and I've totally come to love it. So, you know, I would not choose to do it a different way. And thank you, God, for these beautiful disciplines in my life and these gentle reminders. And the reason I love it is because it works, and that the result is peace and serenity and an ability to show up comfortable in my skin, freed from restlessness, irritability, discontentment, and that is totally priceless. It's totally worth, you know, the time that I put into chopping vegetables. So thanks for letting me share. I will pass.
Thank you, Freya H., and that's all the time we have today. Thank you, everyone who shared. I want to take the time to thank Team Friday, Lorraine N., 12 Steps, Kim T. for the traditions. Reader of our text was KP. Janice P.M. is going to take us out with page 164. Julie E.B. was our backup. Leah S. is our newcomer greeter. Announcements was Reggio, and Lynn S. recorded us. Thank you, everybody, for a wonderful meeting. And so now, with further ado, Janice P.M. is going to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Janice?
Yes, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. We know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you